Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, big issues, big guests, one of our all-time favorites with us to kick it off, and we rarely do that right at the top of the Dom Giordano Show. Professor, attorney extraordinaire Alan Dershowitz has been on before, and at various times, well, it's a matter of public record, he was the attorney in some matters for Epstein. What does he think about what's going on at this point? Doesn't appear to be Bondi and Patel, but the New York FBI, apparently, that has more information and not releasing it. Let's go to Professor Alan Dershowitz here on Talk Radio 1210. Professor, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks. You know, this is a phony release. The most important headline is what's being suppressed, what's being withheld. I know personally, because I was Jeffrey Epstein's lawyer in his first original case, I know about material that is being withheld, redacted, denied. We're not getting the straight poop here. People are being protected. Among the people who are being protected are some who did wrong things. But also people being protected were some of the alleged victims who aren't victims at all, who've made up stories, who've collected thousands and sometimes tens of thousands of dollars for stories that are false. And they're protecting these victims. They won't even mention the names of the alleged victims, even though some of them are perpetrators, not real victims. So we're not getting anything like the whole truth here. We're getting selective release that is consistent with a pre-existing narrative, and we're the ones who are getting fooled. The American public has the right to hear everything.
So, Professor, what would you say the pre-existing narrative is? In other words, who is it that has a narrative that you're saying is false here?
Well, the narrative is that every one of the people who complained were, in fact, victims. Some of them were not. They just made up stories, and we have evidence of that. And the FBI has redacted, I've seen them with my own eyes, redacted statements from people that would prove that they made up stories. But the FBI and judges and others have insisted on keeping this information redacted. You know, from the first day this story came out, as you probably know, I was one of those people who was accused by somebody.
I know
who now
you were. Right. We know about your case.
She now admits she may have made a mistake in identifying me. It was a case of mistaken identification. So I'm completely in the clear. But from the day I was first accused, I said I wanted everything to come out. I, in fact, urged the FBI to open a criminal investigation of me, and I said I would waive all privileges everything else because I knew I did nothing wrong. So all the evidence was clear.
Can I interrupt? Sure, wanted to ask you a difficult question. We know that you have been the advocate for sometimes unpopular things on the right, on the left, all over the place. Why be an attorney, though, for a guy? Wasn't it apparent, or is that part of the narrative in your view, what he was up to at the island? Was that not apparent?
No, not at all. People went to the island. I went to the island with my wife and my then like 7-year-old daughter, some of the most prominent people in the world. He had conferences there. The only time I was on the island for one night, we had dinner with Michael Porter, who is a professor at the business school at Harvard, his wife, cousins. Nobody suspected this. The president of Harvard had dinner with him many times. And, you know, there's a list of prominent people. You have to look at the dates when this happened. When I knew Jeffrey Epstein, when I was his lawyer, nobody had any idea of the scope of any of this or what was going on the island. But, you know, there are stories on the island. There's a story that claims that what's his name? Stephen Hawking was involved in an orgy on the island in his wheelchair. There are stories about Hillary Clinton being involved with underage girls. There are stories about Jacques Cousteau's granddaughter. These are made up stories by people who want to get money, and many of them have gotten money. And that part of the story has to be told as well, how there are real victims and there are fake victims. And the idea that you believe somebody because they happen to be a woman and you don't believe them because they're a man, that's the narrative. And so what they're doing is anybody who claims to be a victim who is a woman, all the information about them is being suppressed instead of everything being out there. So I want everything out there.
That's a fair standard.
I think there are videotapes which will show who was in what room with who, but those haven't been released. I think there are audio tapes. I know that there are redacted FBI interview forms that haven't been disclosed. So the public is being cheated. We're not going to get to the bottom of this until every single piece of evidence is disclosed.
All the times we've had Professor Dershowitz on, I don't remember asking you about Epstein, and I've come around, not right in the beginning. I'm not a conspiracy guy usually, but I believe he was killed in jail. Does the evidence point toward that?
I don't believe that the story that he simply committed suicide on his own is true. I don't believe that story. I think that other people were involved. Now, whether other people were involved in his suicide or other people were involved in killing him, we're never going to know the answer to that because the government has suppressed the truth about that as well. We know 100% certain that he just couldn't have done it by himself. The TV cameras were off. The guards were away. There was some complicity and some involvement of other people. And that story has to come out too. And, you know, the problem is we're getting selective release, and that's worse than no release at all. When you get people making decisions, what information to release and what information not to release, you get a half truth, and the half truth is often more dangerous than even full censorship. At least when it's censored, you know it's censored.
Right, exactly. Well, let me ask you, what do you think of now? I got your broader point. We've talked about this a little bit with you before. But, Professor, now that we have Bondi Patel, the Trump administration, wanting to release, from your sources, your information, is it the FBI in New York holding it back for some reason?
No, I don't think it's them alone. I think it's a combination of people. I think there are some judges who are holding back information. I think there are some individuals that have influence. There are some names on that list that ought to be looked into. There's some very strange and interesting names on that list. So I think it's a combination of powerful people who don't want the full information to come out. Look, the FBI, they have understandable reasons for failure to disclose names of agents, maybe, or cooperating witnesses. But there are people out there who are trying to protect some people, and that's what shouldn't be allowed.
Why we have you here, too. I'm not sure where you are these days, but New York, we're seeing not even a spasm, as bad as we've ever seen. And Fox even calling them mobs now, thank God, that are going after Jewish students, universities again.
Well, it's just horrible. It's happening all over. And the administrators don't have the courage. They are testicularly challenged, to put it moderately. They just don't have the courage to stand up against these people, because they know that there are Hamas supporters out there among their faculty, among the administrators. And, you know, the whole DEI bureaucracy is anti-Israel, anti-Jewish. Mm-hmm. So it goes much deeper than just the thugs who break into Barnard College dormitories or break into classes. They're just the tip of the iceberg. The iceberg are faculty members who are teaching their students to hate America, to hate Jews, to hate Israel, to hate Christians, to hate anybody who doesn't represent their woke, progressive, anti-free speech views. And so it's a big problem on campuses. And they don't want to have speakers who speak to this. I don't get invited. I used to get invited like once a week to speak at a college campus. Nobody wants to invite me now because it'll be controversial, because I have strong views on not suppressing free speech. But most people on college campuses today, it's free speech for me, but not for thee. And the faculty is at fault. The administration is at fault. People who are doing a great job are the alumni. They're fighting back. And the students, many of the students are doing a great job fighting back. But the faculty and the administration, they're getting C minuses with great inflation.
Professor Alan Dershowitz, current book, or what are you working on now, Professor?
Well, I have a new book coming out called The Preventive State, which talks about how we're trying to use the law preventively rather than reactively. I also printed a million copies of a small book called The 10 Biggest Anti-Israel Lies, and how to refute them with the truth. And that's being, we made a million copies of that to be given out free to any college student who wants it. You can also get it online, but if you're a college student, you can get it free. And we're trying to get a million copies on college campuses. We have over 600,000 already distributed. And so I think we're trying to offset the lies that these demonstrators and these faculty members are pushing on students.
Very effectively. Professor Alan Dershowitz, as always, thank you, Professor. Thanks for coming on
today.
My
pleasure. Thank you.
There's Professor Alan Dershowitz, kind of a unique picture into Jeffrey Epstein. Where we are now, is it more than just the FBI in New York? People going after Pam Bondi. I don't know why people going after Pam Bondi on this. In my mind, it's not about Bondi. It's not about Patel. It's about what's going on with the information, apparently, with the FBI offices in New York, that it's still not being released. And I know Trump's involved with Zelensky. Today's a big day on that rare minerals, et cetera. But somebody's got to intervene here if we're going to get this. It's embarrassing to see this continue to dribble forward. All right. You heard Professor Alan Dershowitz, a pretty unique view here on Talk Radio 1210 from where he sits, from where he was engaged. 855-839-1210. You get in. Now, something very newsworthy. DJ just saw it right before the show and sent it to me. And a comment from the Wall Street Journal, who I think published it first. President Trump, and I think it's after Zelensky today, President Trump has designed an executive order, finally, how many years have we talked about this, making English the official U.S. language. And the snide copy commentary from the Wall Street Journal, who are pro, I think, illegal immigration, not just pro-immigration, they write, in its nearly 250-year history, the U.S. has never had a national language at the federal level. Hundreds of languages are spoken in the U.S., the byproduct of the country's long history of taking in immigrants from around the world. The executive order would rescind a federal mandate issued by former President Bill Clinton that agencies and other recipients of federal funding are required to provide language assistance to non-English speakers. The Trump EO, the Trump executive order, will say, we're promoting English, the national language, to promote unity, establish efficiency in the government, and provide a pathway to civic engagement. That's exactly right. And if you don't want to learn English or speak English, what are you doing here? Why do we continue to have this silliness? Now, this will be resisted. It already is. People, we're not going to speak English. Well, you know, you can go all over the place, and I would say in many quarters, it's not really English anyhow, but okay. But as a matter of course, this is big. Trump, again, I don't know how many executive orders this is. If it's battled in the court, that's okay. They'll be on the defensive. How long, I think ever since I've been in talk radio, we fielded calls, why can't English be the official language of the country? And this plays right into the immigration issue that we're talking about. We'll get your reaction on that. Let me give you the side question. We had this all set and ready to go, and we still may do. I want to wait until the Epstein file is out there. Then we'll do the most evil American ever. I've kept my sheet on that. But this actually won a few years ago as the worst idea ever. In 1848, this, I guess it was Wednesday, 1848, it goes back that far. Marx and his understudy Engels drafted the Communist Manifesto. Oh, my goodness. The worst idea in history. Look at the death total. Look at what it's done. So I got a whole bunch of them to take off. You're not going to win with New Coke, Old Coke. We know that one. That's kind of like Budweiser. Don't say New Coke, Old Coke, Budweiser anymore. The Etzel, remember that vehicle. I'll take off Prohibition, and I will take off my shot, the NFL draft. I just want America freedom. I want talk radio not to be talking about Caps and Miles Garrett and Caps.
Oh, come on.
Go and get him. You want to get him? He wants to come here. Why should that man have to suffer in Cleveland? Why? Is this America?
Is this your way of telling the Eagles to go after Abdul Carter?
No, I'm saying it's not America to me when you got to be told where you're going to work. That's not America.
Right, that's fair.
Yeah, thank you, Henry, very much. If we said to you, we're going to ship you to Cleveland, I've been to Cleveland, you wouldn't want to be doing Giordano show.
Is that not how the military works, though?
You're not in the military. What the hell?
He said this is America.
Look at this defense of the NFL.
You've
what
been
about
drafted,
the military?
Right?
Yeah, well, that's
it's
right.
Similar.
Drafted.
Well,
no, we don't have a draft now. There you go. Only the NFL has a draft. All right, Henry, what's yours?
Yeah, here's an easy one. Here's a layout. How about filling up blimps with hydrogen? That didn't go so well.
Yep.
If you've ever heard
answer.
Of
that's a great answer.
Hindenburg disaster.
Yeah, it's one of Dan's favorite to replay that. Oh, the humanity.
Oh, the humanity.
Yeah.
Another one I will take off the board are bad, not bad. Let's say you reboot or have a spinoff of a beloved TV show.
Oh,
I think those are
dangerous.
Horrible ideas.
Very dangerous. I can't name one that's better except for Godfather 2.
No.
Which
isn't
a reboot. It's a continuation
you
of the story.
You talk about, I don't know, bringing back Arrested Development for another season, you know, 10 years after it went off the air. It
doesn't work.
That 80s show and that 90s show,
in fact,
that 70s show.
I think we watch it in order to attack it. It gets a viewing audience to attack it to say
true.
Not as good as the
look,
first.
Look at like the Big Bang Theory. They're on their third spinoff. They had Big Bang Theory. They had Young Sheldon. Now they got the Mandy and Georgie's First Marriage.
And that show has viewers.
Yeah.
The Ghost Show does, too.
Apparently enough to keep it going. Right, let's make another show.
It's hard. The Ghost Show is worse than all of them, whatever channel that's on. They're all ghosts and all.
Yeah.
All right. Dan, how about yours?
Yeah, how about something that led to a Super Bowl here in Philadelphia, an all-time bad decision, that of giving quarterback Daniel Jones a four-year contract worth $160 million and then cutting him later, leading you to being unable to re-sign your all-star running back, Saquon Barkley.
Right. That's a great one.
Yeah.
I mean, and maybe even worse, the owner of the Giants still has the same guys there that were engaged in this. Can you imagine here in Philadelphia? New York must be soft. In Philadelphia, these people on WIP, oh, my God, with Daniel Jones.
Oh, they wouldn't live it down.
Yeah, he couldn't live in town. He would be driven out of town. 30 seconds in, he's out. All right, 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. Hit us on the side question. Hit us. Are you happy with this finally? Now, you can say, well, why don't they make it a law? Well, because Democrats will die on the Hill there to stop it from being a law. But we'll see. We got a lot more, too. A lot more updates. Trump and Zelensky, the minerals deal. Column today says what I think, that this is the master play may lead to a relatively soon settlement in Ukraine. By that, I mean 3 to 6 months. We might see it based on this. And we'll give you any of the sound from that as it's happening today. Here's how you get in, though. 855-839.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
12:10. All right, good Friday, everyone. It is Dom time at 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. So J.D. Vance spoke today at the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast. I'll play you what he said about President Trump. But he did the smart thing. He didn't get into it with the Pope. He said, you know where I stand, where the Pope stands. But he did talk about a sermon the Pope gave at the height of COVID, when everyone was dying, etc., that he said he found peace with. He said prior to that sermon, I had a 3-week-old baby. I went to Dick's Sporting Goods and bought 900 rounds of ammunition, J.D. Vance, and Walmart, and 2 giant bags of rice. Oh, man. And then he heard the Pope. And that was, enough for only 900 rounds. Okay, here's what he said, though, about President Trump and what President Trump has done for Catholics.
While you're certainly not always going to agree with everything that we do in President Trump's administration, I feel very confident in saying that between protecting the rights of pro-life protesters, between ensuring that we have an opportunity to protect the rights of the unborn in the first place, and importantly, protecting the religious liberty of all people, but in particular Catholics, I think that we can say that President Trump, though not a Catholic himself, has been an incredibly good president for Catholics in the United States of America.
Kind of tepid applause there. I thought there'd be a lot more applause. He absolutely has versus the devout Catholic before him. By the way, there were 15 influencers who got the phase one. Now we know why it was called phase one. There's not much in there of the Epstein files. Guess who one of them was? He has long hair. He's a voter registration machine. And he appears on this show every Monday at 2 o'clock.
Who's that?
Scott Presler. Ooh. Was one of the 15 influencers. Now he's got a new title, influencer, not just vote registration guy. I forget if he has 1.2 million or something like that on Twitter. So he was there getting the copy. On his Twitter, he dismisses it a little bit and saying, not much to see here. Let's get on to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So we'll talk with him on Monday.
If you want that.
Oh, this is Presler?
Yep.
Okay, let's hear him.
Hey, everybody. This is Scott Presler. I am just leaving the White House. I was over at the West Wing. I went into the Oval Office. I got to meet President Trump. I got to meet Vice President J.D. Vance. And I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you to every person that made this happen. Thank you to every voter. Thank you to every person that put in the sweat equity required in order to win the November 2024 election. But our work is not over. We must continue registering voters, lifting our voices, and we are going to vote in every single gosh darn election. See you guys soon.
That'll be on Monday. We'll find out what it feels like to be an influencer there in the Oval Office. Now, throughout the show today, this is just the script arrives every day to my show. Thank you to the Houlihan for today's script. Headline in the Inquirer, 10, 11 printed pages. Pennsylvania Democrats are getting flooded with constituent stories they're hoping to leverage against Trump. Democrats can't win in Congress. They're trying to win in the court of public opinion with a strategy focused on the human impact of Trump's federal cuts. So if you can imagine, the Inquirer says the Houlihan has a town hall at the Colonial in Phoenixville. What else happens at the Colonial? Blobfest, the old time, the blob. Only the blob here where these big mouth, progressive, indivisible, moveon.org, phony, pretending to be, I work for the federal government. Trump is mean. All right? 1,000 of them showed up. No more people could get in, the Inquirer says. They have a website. They're on Twitter. In quote, stories from the 6th. The Houlihan represents the 6th congressional district. I wonder if they asked the Houlihan about human misery, that she was a big executive for an apparel company who made their apparel, in communist China.
Oh.
Yeah, I wonder if anybody's ever asked the Houlihan out there. So the Inquirer says hundreds of people poured into the Colonial Theater. They were handed popcorn and index cards, inviting them to share their stories of how cuts to the federal workforce and spending have impacted them. Now, you talk about fraud, just outright fraud. It should have said fraud tonight, not Blobfest, at the Colonial. Are we getting 1,000 people or more, it seems like, by this to show up at a town hall with Houlihan talking about how what Trump did is so mean, inhumane, and it directly affected them, meaning they're a worker or somehow or another, it's affecting them. You know, and the Inquirer found the usual suspects, people that were there. They said they're going to turn around this public image of what the Trump people are portraying federal workers as. When Trump says deep state and drain the swamp, I don't understand what that means. The people I work with were such hardworking, diligent people, says Alex, Delaware County mother of two, who was let go from the Institute of Education Sciences. The one that got here, though, said that I'm looking for. This one woman said that, yeah, that the people that we're talking about, they're the people who make sure when you set down your dinner in front of your child, you're not poisoning them. See, that's who Trump is letting go. You're going to poison your kids. Oh, it's Malcolm Kenyatta, the guy that's now a new DNC chair. He's from Philadelphia. He's run for every office in the world. He went on to say, the federal employees are the people make sure that your airplane doesn't fall from the sky. That's who we're talking about. Poisoning your kids, airplanes falling from the sky. Not what Trump would have you believe. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, all we have to do is just push pound 1210. So we got the side question today. Don't wait to the end because I can't squeeze all those people in at the end. All-time worst idea. Communism, when we did this 2 or 3 years ago, won. And when I saw the other day was the anniversary of the Communist Manifesto. So hit us with a really, really bad idea. It could be a funny one, pop culture one. It could be a serious one. Hit us with that, and away we go. We're going to talk with a state representative we talked with before. He was the one, well, I think he got it passed, that said that Larry Krasner doesn't have the power, or there's co-power, with the Attorney General's appointee over the crimes committed, what is it, within 100 yards of, is it 100 yards, 100 feet of anything that's SEPTA-related. He's got a new bill coming up, and this is going to be a showdown that says if you take a minor to a drag show, you can be convicted of a felony. It's a lower felony. It's not murder one. Tennessee and Florida already do that. The Supreme Court has just sided with Tennessee on this. Is this that serious? Taking a minor to a drag show. You've seen this before, now coming to Pennsylvania, that you could be in big trouble. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. Hey, February is American Heart Month. It's a great time to focus on all aspects of cardiac care, exercising, eating healthfully, heart-friendly foods, and being mindful of your dental health. You know, plaque buildup can actually lead to bacteria growth, which sometimes can lead to conditions like endocarditis or arteriosclerosis. So now's a great time to schedule an appointment with my guy, my dentist, board-certified prostodontist, Dr. Robert Bentz at the Bentz Dental Group. Dr. Bentz works with hundreds of patients to not only improve their smiles and their confidence, but to maximize oral health. And you know what that does? Well, that helps to maximize overall health. So if you have concerns about any of this, or you just want great dentistry, I've told you the infrastructure, Dr. Bentz's skill, the staff, it's all there. All you have to do is call them today at 610-272-6949. You can visit BentzDentalGroup.com or make that call now. Get that initial evaluation, 610-272-6949. All right, Dom G or Dano show. You may remember how many times that we talked about at least 4 or 5 years when we first saw the incursion of Drag Queen Story Hour, but then we've seen other iterations that are more adult than that. So Representative Robert Ledbetter has a rationale what to do about this. I think it's kind of what they did in Florida and Tennessee. In Tennessee, the Supreme Court just verified so far. They haven't shut down the law there. It said it was unconstitutional. As I understand it, under this bill, which will soon be, well, might have co-sponsors, it will be a felony of the third degree for an individual allowing a minor to attend a drag show. Let's go to the representative here on Talk Radio 1210. Representative, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us.
Dom, thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Where's your district, Representative? What corner of the state?
Dom, I represent the 109th District, which encompasses all of beautiful Columbia County. We have some amazing communities, Bloomsburg, Berwick, and many others in the 109th.
I asked because I wanted to know, was there a trigger? Was there a drag show that was that provocative that it triggered this response?
Well, Dom, look, this is about following common sense. You mentioned the common sense that the Supreme Court recently upheld with the decision in Tennessee, some of the other states that have followed suit. My bill is following that same spirit of common sense and protecting minors from inappropriate content. My bill will explicitly make it a third degree felony for an individual to allow a minor to attend a drag show. Because, Dom, let's be real frank. Kids and minors, they are can't do things in society today. Minors can't buy alcohol or cigarettes. They can't go to nightclubs or strip clubs. They can't gamble. So why should drag shows be any different?
But this would not be the Drag Queen Story Hour in libraries. This would be something different.
No, the drag shows contain sexualized themes, provocative dancing, explicit language, and these are things that are not age appropriate for minors. And so we want to make sure that those minors aren't exposed to inappropriate content under any guise, family-friendly events, story hours, fundraisers, anything like that. And to be clear, those events, should they happen, we don't want kids attending.
Well, we're really going down Broadway. You know, the ones they started with in Florida, as you probably know, but listeners may remember, those were like nightclub types of things. I don't know why people were dragging kids there, and I think that's where they won. To your knowledge, though, does Florida, Tennessee, or anybody else challenge the Drag Queen Story Hour at libraries where they usually happen and say, you can't do that?
You know, Dom, I think what is very clear in this is that when the drag performances occur, Pennsylvania law already prohibits the acts that often are coupled with those types of activities, acts that tend to corrupt the morals of a minor. But this legislation that I'm proposing removes any ambiguity regarding drag shows. Because once again, many of these drag performances include sexually suggestive themes, those provocative outfits, and explicit language. And that's content that's clearly inappropriate for children.
I want to go back to this point with parents, because as you probably know, we run into it all. Even Chris Christie, who's still a Republican, I think, has brought it up on so-called gender-affirming care. And I've said what you've said, which is we don't allow a parent to say the kid can get drunk. So certainly society can say you can't get severe, irreversible surgeries at the age of 8. But on this one, I'm taking the pulse, and I wanted to ask you, how many supporters have you gotten so far to co-sponsor, if any?
Sir, certainly. Dom, we've had a tremendous amount of support coming out of the Republican caucus. We have Representative Shalaba out in the western part of the Commonwealth. We have the chair of the Judiciary Committee, Chairman Rob Kaufman. We have Representative Joe DiOrsi, who partnered with me on several bills last legislative session. Representative Aaron Bernstein, Barb Blime. I mean, the list goes on. So, you know, it's clear that this is something that is on the minds of not only representatives across the Commonwealth, but also it's common sense that the constituents have made clear that they want to have followed.
Okay, so a third degree felony, can you distinguish how severe is that?
Sure. You know, when we talk about what this legislation means, Dom, this legislation already aligns with existing public decency laws that are designed to protect children from inappropriate material. So what this bill does is it reinforces those traditional values and the rights of parents to ensure their children are raised in a healthy, age-appropriate environment, but also places accountability on an adult that would potentially coerce or allow their child to engage in these environments.
So we ought to be seeing this introduced pretty soon then, correct?
Absolutely. I'm working right now to anticipate a very clear introduction and, again, also allow my colleagues an opportunity to co-sponsor the legislation because, again, this isn't the exception. This is the rule. Families understand how important this is, and if you follow this common sense, you end up in the same conclusion.
Representative Ledbetter with us. Now, the last we talked, I didn't even go back and look it up. It's kind of burned in my mind, I think. We talked about you, Sharif Street, who I don't think will be on board with this, and Larry Krasner. What's your sense of where we're getting to try to have, a second opinion on crime, since Krasner doesn't see any, around Septinol? How's that whole thing going that you were one of the architects of?
Well, Dom, I will speak to, again, why this legislation is necessary. And it really goes back to the clarity within the Commonwealth and common sense. And that's not cliche. That is something that really needs to be adhered to, because some activists, you mentioned some of the elected officials that have taken on the role of activists. They've attempted to blur the lines between adult entertainment and children's programming. And without clear standards, children can be exposed to performances that aren't suitable for their age. So to eliminate some of that ambiguity, to provide the clarity that should be there with the common sense, this bill provides a firm legal safeguard against the exploitation and sexualization of minors.
All right. Well, would you please keep us in the loop with Dan or Henry here? We certainly want to know as this starts the debate, et cetera, around this. I'm thinking we're seeing more and more states doing it. And as you and I just said, the Supreme Court, at least, has not ruled against this, that there's freedom of speech to be doing this or anything like it. Representative, thank you. We'll talk with you again hopefully soon.
Dom, thank you so much.
All right. Representative Ledbetter. Now, you know, a third degree felony here around this. And notice what he said. I explicitly wanted to know about drag queen story hour, not just some club. That's where it started in Florida. And the objection that I have to the that's okay. I got to go. We got two good calls. I'm flipping coins here, Dan. All right. Should I go to Robespierre or should I go to Chris? Because it's so hard to tell. I'm not either one of them.
And Trump and Zelensky are currently speaking.
I know. Well, and Vance got in. Trump's getting agitated. But Vance was getting crazy with Zelensky.
Really?
You know where Zelensky's sitting? When I was in the Oval Office, Trump got Mary Walters, you know, I think I told you this. She was there with four guys, five talk show hosts, walks her to that chair where Zelensky's sitting and says, "This is where I put the dictators."
Woo. Do you want to hear some of the audio? I do.
Yeah,
have
let's hear a little bit of Vance, Trump, and Zelensky.
I'm talking about the kind of diplomacy that's going to end the destruction of your country.
Yes, but if you are not
President,
strong,
Mr. President, with respect, I think it's disrespectful for you to come into the Oval Office and try to litigate this in front of the American media. Right now, you guys are going around and forcing conscripts to the front lines because you have manpower problems. You should be thanking the president for trying to bring it into this conflict.
Have you ever been to Ukraine that you say what problems we have?
I have been to...
Come once.
I've actually watched and seen the stories, and I know what happens is you bring people, you bring them on a propaganda tour, Mr. President. Do you disagree that you've had problems bringing people into your military?
We have problems.
And do you think that it's respectful to come to the Oval Office of the United States of America and attack the administration that is trying to prevent the destruction of your country?
A lot of questions. Let's start from...
Too many questions. There's a lot of questions.
Even you, but you have nice ocean and don't feel now, but you will feel it in the future. God bless.
You don't know that.
God bless. God bless.
Okay.
You will not have war.
Don't tell us what we're going to feel. We're trying to solve a problem. Don't tell us what we're going to feel.
I'm not telling you.
Because
I'm
you're in no position to dictate that.
That's
Remember
exactly
this.
I'm not dictating.
You're in no position to dictate what we're going to feel. We're going to feel very good and very strong.
You will feel influence.
You're right now not in a very good position. You've allowed yourself to be in a very bad position, and it happens to be right about
it. From the very beginning of the war,
you're not in a good position. You don't have the cards right now. With us, you start having
cards.
Right now, you don't. You're playing cards. You're playing cards. You're gambling with the lives of millions of people. You're gambling with World War III. You're gambling with World War III. And what you're doing is very disrespectful to the country, this country.
I'm with all respect to you.
More than a lot of people said they should have.
Have you said thank you once?
Even today.
You went to Pennsylvania and campaigned for the opposition in October. Offer some words of
Josh
appreciation
Shapiro.
For the United States of America and the president who's trying to save your country.
All right, so we'll get more of that tape. Any of it, Dan, that we have here is more. Notice what Vance does. He waits on the outlier, lets a few beats. That was very Martha Raddatz. He waited for Zelensky and said, I thought he was going to say, do you hear yourself? Have you said thank you once? Just like he got Raddatz there.
Wow.
Yeah, that was nuts. Trump was not into that in the beginning. It was Vance. And then Trump jumped in, second man in. When Zelensky was going nuts there.
Wow. It started, Dom, with a comment about Trump, as he welcomed Zelensky, had a comment about his attire that he wore to the White House.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I had to.
Ready clothes?
How are you?
Ready,
shut up. He's all dressed up today.
President Trump, what's your guys' diplomatic reaction, sir?
It's a power move in itself as he shows up in a black shirt and cargo pants.
Well, at least he didn't wear the camouflage this time. Well, Zelensky speaks enough English to make this, you know, if it were a translator, God knows, with them jumping into the ring. Could you see the two translators? Say, what the hell? And they just jumped in both going
totally
after each other.
No, it wouldn't be the same.
You need somebody who can speak English. And Trump was not animated. He was kind of like, he leans forward when he's being the peacemaker. It was Vance. And then it really went off. We'll play you a little bit more of it. All right, more calls coming up, too. At 855-839-1210. All right, it is Dom time. We'll play you a little bit more of this exchange, Zelensky, Vance, and President Trump. But Chris in Westchester, I think, was identified in this Inquirer column. He was a guy there observing this blob fest with Houlihan. Who were these people that were getting in? Hey, Chris, good to have you with us. Tell us about the scene at the Houlihan Town Hall.
Okay, Dom, I got there about 5:30 in the afternoon, and as I was walking down Main Street from the Colonial Theater, I had a red Make America Great Again cap on and my Trump Vance T-shirt, and it looked just beautiful. And you should have seen the loathing that was extended my way. And went all the way down to the corner, turned left down the hill, and then the line went all the way back Taylor Avenue to the other block. So I think there might have been as many as 1,500 people there.
Did these seem like just poor federal workers, or did this seem like the indivisible MoveOn.org mob?
You know what, Dom? It was actually looking like a nice, average group of people. They didn't have any kind of,
Okay.
You know, what I would describe as like adversarial kinds of countenances. But I had really good conversations with a variety of people in line. And I met a Republican committee man from Phoenixville in line. I just happened to be standing next to. And we got to about 100 people away from the doors, and then they said that the venue was at capacity. And earlier in the week, when they sent out the invites for the town hall, they said that Houlihan's office had received something like 5,000 inquiries into whether or not, you know, these Doge cuts were going to be continuing, people expressing concern about them. And I just thought, if you have that much interest in an issue, you should probably try to move this to a larger venue to accommodate all the people that want to express their concerns. And I am a constituent in Christy right. Houlihan's 6th right. district, and I can tell you that the policies that were enacted during the COVID lockdowns damaged my business and had a, you know, pretty severe impact on sure. my family's financial situation.
Thank you, Chris. I don't doubt that they did. Here's a little bit more of Trump, Zelensky, and Vance, and then we have Jeff Van Drew in the on-deck circle.
You think that if you will speak very loudly about the war, you
He's
can...
He's not speaking loudly. He's not speaking loudly. Your country is in big trouble.
Can I
Wait a minute. No, no.
Can
You've I done ask? A lot of talking. Your country is in big trouble.
Long talker.
You're not winning. You're not winning this. You have a damn good chance of coming out okay because of us.
Mr. President, we are staying in our country, staying strong from the very beginning of the war. We've been alone, and we are thankful. I said thanks in this cabinet.
You haven't been alone. We gave you, through this stupid president, $350 billion.
You voted
We gave you military equipment, and
your
men are brave, but they had to use our military.
What about
us? If you didn't have our military equipment, if you didn't have our military equipment, this war would have been over in 2 weeks.
In three days, I heard it from Putin. In 3 days. This is something
maybe
new.
Less.
In 2 weeks. Of course, yes.
It's going to be a very hard thing to do business like this.
Again,
I tell you.
Just say thank
wow.
you.
They're here to sign the deal.
Here's Vance again.
Except, American people.
Except that there are disagreements, and let's go litigate those disagreements rather than trying to fight it out in the American media when you're wrong. We know that you're wrong.
But you see, I think it's good for the American people to see what's going on.
I understand, sir.
I think it's very important. That's why I kept this going so long. You have to be thankful. You don't have the cards. You're buried there. Your people are dying. You're running low on soldiers. Listen, you're running low on soldiers. It would be a damn good thing. And then you tell us, I don't want a ceasefire. I don't want a ceasefire. I want to go, and I want this. Look. If you could get a ceasefire right now, I tell you, you'd take it so the bullets stop flying and your men stop getting killed.
Of course, we want to
All right,
stop the war.
We got Jeff Van Drew coming up here. So here's how the media, the Inquirer, is going to headline this. Trump bullies Zelensky. Imperialism.
Oh.
Let's see. Let's see. Keep your eye out. We're going to have it right away when the Inquirer. Come on over at the newsroom. We're doing two jobs. We're helping you out. Get that headline up. Come on, Inquirer. Put it up. You know you're a bullies. There were two of them. It was two against one. Unfair. He doesn't speak English. They do. Try doing that in Ukrainian. Put extra people on this. All right, let's see what Jeff Van Drew says if he's watching any of this. He's next on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano. Weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT.